Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the Lord Jesus being the Passover Lamb. Amen. And I want to start from the Old Testament because the Old Testament, as we know, it points us to Christ. Amen. So I'm going to start from the Old Testament, from Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 14. Amen. But I just want to get the content in there, and then we're going to bring it all the way to what we're celebrating today. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go to Exodus 12, and here we begin. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goat. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head, with its legs, and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Amen. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Amen?
Amen.
The Passover lamb. These verses right here, points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Points to Him being the lamb that was slain. The Passover lamb was symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read, it had to be without blemish. The Lord Jesus was sinless, without sin. Amen? And it, because this is what it symbolized. Without blemish symbolized without sin. And Jesus was without sin. Amen? I want to go to verse 9, because here, totally points to the Lord, right? It just illustrates total consumption. Jesus, our Passover lamb, because God sent His Son, and His Son gave His all. He gave His entire body. His body, as we know, was mutilated. It was bruised. It was stricken. Amen. God gave us His whole entire body. Amen. And in verse 10, it says here in verse 10, What this means, we are to partake of all that Jesus provided for us. His full sacrifice on the cross. Now we are partakers of all of that. God never intended for salvation to be separated into parts, with us choosing which parts we want. Nuh-uh. It was full. Right? We are to take everything that salvation offers. Not only were we saved through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that salvation also offers healing. It offers prosperity. It offers deliverance. It offers emotional health, and the list goes on and on and on. If we go back, which we're not going there, but if we go back to Psalm 103, remember the Lord's benefits. Amen. He gave it all for us. And we as Christians, as believers today, we should be taking advantage of all that God died for us to give. Amen. Now, Pharaoh, remember, this is right before the Exodus took place, right? This is right before Moses parted the Red Sea by God's command. This is right before the Israelites were delivered, right? And here in verse 11, Pharaoh hadn't given the order for them to leave yet. Remember, Pharaoh was holding them back, right? But the Lord told Moses that he would deliver them. And they needed to be ready for that deliverance. Amen. So this is the last thing the Lord did. I said, okay, you know, you don't want to let them go. I'm gonna do this instead. I'm gonna pass over. And my people who hold for this land on my behalf, they will be saved from destruction. Amen. So this, you know, in verse 12. Right? These plagues were judgments. All the plagues that were happening that we read before chapter 12, they were all judgments, not only on the Egyptians, but also for all the gods that they had invented. Remember, the Israelites were worshiping other gods in that land. They worshiped nearly everything. They worshiped the Nile, they worshiped the frogs, and the list goes on. So the plagues here had proven all these gods to be false, man-made gods.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we read about that. We know the stories, that's why I don't need to go there. But listen, I'm sure that there were Egyptians who probably discovered who the true God was through this. Amen. I mean, the Israelites' children were saved. Their household were saved, but not the Egyptians' households.
Amen.
Amen. And the phrase here in verse 12, this night, implies that this happened the same night that Moses announced God's judgment upon Pharaoh and his people. Because he wouldn't let them go. In verse 13, right? About the blood. Right? Because God the Father sees the blood of Jesus on those of us who made him our Lord and Savior, right? We made Christ our Lord and Savior. So the judgment of God passed over them, but today, because we're saved, that judgment we have no part of. We have no part of that judgment because we are saved. The Israelites didn't experience a lesser amount of death when the death angel passed over their homes. They experienced no death at all. And likewise, we today, we Christians, we experience no wrath from God once we accept the Lord as Jesus, our Savior. Amen? So in verse 14, God is gave them a commandment. And we are commanded, right, to remember, not forget, the wonderful works, the benefits. Again, I want to tell you the benefits, salvation, healing, prosperity, deliverance, health. Amen? These are the benefits of the works of God. So the reason the Lord commanded this is because it's our tendency to forget things. Right? Don't we are very forgetful at times of things? So he says, no, no. I'm commanding you to remember this Passover. So this is why we celebrate every year. Even though we celebrate Jesus every day, amen, we celebrate the Passover. The Jewish people celebrate Passover. Amen. The reason the Lord commanded this is because we have to keep it in our memories. Just like the cross, we got to remember the cross every day. We got to follow Jesus. Amen. We got to follow the Lord. We got to pick up our cross every day, don't we? As the Lord was sacrificed, so are we. So we were, right? But listen, in Christ, we win. In Christ, we have everything. Amen?
That's right.
In Christ. So this was the purpose of the Passover feast and the Lord's Supper. Amen? Which we're going to partake today. These are feasts and events that we bring to memory, that we actually celebrate. But the Lord's Supper, we celebrate, if we wanted to, every day. But we celebrate it. Amen? The Passover feast. Man, the lamb was slain, but 3 days later, the Lord Jesus was risen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Passover lamb, yes, was slain, but our lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not only slain, he is risen today. Amen. He rose again. He lives, and he lives in the inside of us. Church, what began back in Egypt with blood on doorpost reached its fulfillment at the cross and its victory at the empty tomb. There is victory at the empty tomb.
Yes.
And Paul said it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5:7. Paul said it. I just want to turn there real quickly. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:7. He said it in just a few words. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was crucified for us.
Amen.
The Lord is our Passover. The Lord sacrificed everything for us, and in him, we have everything. Just like Sister Vinny read on that scripture before, right? We are blessed of God.
Yep.
We have great mercy because of God. He's given us a new birth, a new hope to live by through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today we live with a hope. Every day we have to live in hope. We can't live hopeless. Every day we got to fix our eyes on the Lord, at the cross, at the crucifixion, at the resurrection. Because the resurrection changed everything. And it changes everything every single day.
Amen. Amen.
Don't matter how sad or how like we read before, how bleak or hopeless maybe a situation may seem, the Lord God, we have victory inside of us. Amen. We don't need to be sad. We need to be glad. Amen. Because we are saved. We have a new life in Christ. Amen. There are benefits that sets us apart from all other people on this earth.
Yes.
God has given us these benefits. Unbelievers don't have this type of benefit.
No, they don't.
Let me tell you something. Just this week, I was ministering to somebody, and I asked that person, Are you saved? Do you believe you're saved? And you know they couldn't answer. You're missing out. Because if you don't know, then you're not. I remember when I was saved. Do you remember when you were saved? Do you remember, Pastor Ruth, when you were saved? Dorcas,
well,
Liz. No, but you know in your heart.
Yes, long, long, long time ago.
But we know in our hearts, right?
I am saved.
We know.
I know I'm saved.
Yeah, it's a present thing.
And if you don't answer that right away, then you have doubts. Mm. Then you're faithless. Am I right? Exactly. My thoughts.
Hallelujah.
And I began to minister. I began to come against the enemy that was bringing condemnation, guilt, confusion. Because they're still thinking it was about works. Well, I'm, you know, not ready. You know, I don't know. I don't think I'll ever be ready. I said, no, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because the Lord says, come as you are.
That's right.
You come as you are.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of it all, she gave her life to the Lord.
Amen.
I believe she got saved, but God, only God knows, right? Only God knows the intentions of man's hearts.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But in Christ, why, what am I trying to say? That in Christ, we have everything. We win. We win.
Amen.
This is why we have to turn, like Pastor Ruth earlier spoke through God. Forget about the sadness. We need to be glad. We need to be glad. And we have to remember, I even have to remember that. I need not to be walking with my head held down. I need to be walking with my head held high because of who I am and who I belong to.
Amen.
And the promises that the Lord already has made. But the enemy wants you to believe that you are defeated, that you're going to continue to be in financial hardship and this and this and that, you know?
The Lord.
The Lord, we just said there's benefits. The Lord is our source. He's our provider. He's our
Amen.
Joy. He's
Amen.
Our peace. He's our strength.
Mm-hmm.
Whom mm-hmm. shall I fear? No.
Amen.
We will not fear. Amen. We have the Holy One living in the inside of us. Amen. And I want to go back to Exodus. I want to go to verse 6, and I promise we're going to bring it into the new. Amen. But I want to go to verse 6 in chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Just want to show you something. Exodus 6, 6 and 7. This is what it says. Again, the Lord speaking to Moses what to tell them, right? Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Amen? Here we have once again, right? Once again, the Lord is instructing Moses to go to the children, to go to the congregation, to go to the children of Israel and deliver this particular message before going to Pharaoh. Before, you know, we were in verse 12 before. Amen? Listen, God loves us and wants us comforted. And he also uses faith, right? Faith to express and to bring us into deliverance. Amen? Like the Lord Jesus, we have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So he uses our faith, amen, that we express to bring his deliverance to pass. God brought Jesus to pass. That already came to pass. Amen. One of the reasons why the Lord sent Moses to deliver this message to the Israelites was before he went back to Pharaoh, so that when all these things came to pass, the Israelites would know that this was all a work of God. Amen. God is the one that brought judgment against the Egyptians. He brought judgments even against Israelites because of all what that were doing. But he delivered them because God is merciful. He still delivered the children of Israel because God is merciful. God had a plan. He said, Moses, take your rod, open that Red Sea. I've already done it. You have to now act on faith and just hold up that rod and open that Red Sea. And Moses followed. And we know the children were delivered. Amen. But this, the Lord was speaking because he already knew. He already knew that he was going to bring his people out of bondage. He was going to deliver his people. So he's giving a Moses a prophetic word here. Amen. And look, let's go to Deuteronomy 6:23. Again, I'm going somewhere with this. So be patient. Amen.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 6:23. And it says here, then he brought, talking about the Lord, then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. Amen. So here we have the promises that the Lord gave, the messages that the Lord had Moses give to the Israelite was, there was four promises here. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to redeem you. And then I'm going to take you as my people. Amen. This is what we see here. Amen. The Lord, he brought them out, and he gave them a land that he promised, a land filled with milk and honey. Remember that the Lord provided during the wilderness times of the Israelites, provided manna, provided bread that tasted like wafers and honey. He gave them provision. He brought them out. He rescued them. He redeemed them. And they became his people. So, in other words, God brings us out of bondage into relationship with him. God brought the Israelites out so they can have covenant with him. Amen? And in the new land, God will be providing for them in the land of milk and honey. No longer had God had to provide them with the manna, right? The manna, the wafers, and the honey. No, the Lord, when they entered the land, filled with milk and honey, this is what the word says. Let's go to Joshua. Let's go to Joshua. I don't wanna lose you. Let's go to Joshua. I hope I'm not losing you. I'm just.
You're not.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Joshua 5:12. Let's go to Joshua 5:12. It says, then the manna, because remember, they came to a land. Then the manna ceased on that day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Amen. Because the Lord provided a land that was filled with milk and honey. There was provision. There was food. There was fruit. There was produce. So they no longer needed manna to come from heaven. Now God fully had brought them into the promised land. And there he became their full provider. Yes,
Amen.
He was the source of provision in the wilderness. But what that wilderness, it points us that from that wilderness, it was pointing them into a better land. God delivered them. God rescued them. God redeemed them from that bondage that they were in. And he brought them into a better land, a promised land, a land filled with so much food and so much provision that manna from heaven stopped. And for us today, church, for us today, God brought us out from a pit. We were headed straight to hell. We were headed straight to death, spiritual death. We're living in that. Amen. And he brought us out of that darkness into his marvelous light, and to a light filled with a relationship with God, the relationship that was severed by man, by Adam, in the garden, was now totally restored. And now today, as believers, we can have perfect relationship with God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
So God brings us out into a better covenant. Amen. No longer it's about the law, fulfilling the law. No, it's a new covenant of grace. Jesus came not to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And now we're under a new atonement, a covenant of grace. Amen.
Amen.
But as we know, the story doesn't end at the sacrifice. The lamb got up. The lamb was risen. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus fulfilled the Passover.
Yes.
The Passover lamb pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the lamb equaled and resulted in protection. Amen. Just like the Israelites, that blood that they placed on the post, it represented protection from death.
Amen.
We are protected by the blood of Jesus that was shed at the cross. We believers are in new covenant. We are covenant people of God. Amen. Unbelievers cannot state that. But we believers, our life has been made brand new. Our spirit was renewed. It was reborn again. And in Christ, we have new life.
Amen.
New life, new victories. Amen. We have it all in Christ. So yes, the slain lamb was the price that Jesus paid. In the Exodus, right? The lamb had to die. At Calvary, Jesus Christ became that lamb. He was pierced, he was broken, and he bled. And the blood today still speaks forgiveness, redemption, and covering. Oh, the blood of Jesus covered us all. Amen.
Amen.
What about the tomb? What about the tomb? Today we celebrate the risen Lord. What about the empty tomb? The enemy thought it was over when Christ died. Amen. But for 3 days, hell was celebrating. The enemy was celebrating. Darkness. Darkness seemed to win. But hope looked, even hope looked buried. It was a hopeless situation for those disciples.
Mm-hmm.
It was hopeless for the people that truly believed in the Lord. Because remember, we just celebrated Palm Sunday last week. Palm Sunday, the people were celebrating the Lord. The people were honoring the Lord on that donkey. They really thought that he was going to change things around and conquer the Roman Empire. They really thought he was going to be king at that time. But yet 5 days later, what did they do? They said, crucify him. So here we have Sunday. They're blessing the Lord, honoring the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. 5 days later, Actually, 4 days later, right? What's the praise?
Mm-hmm.
What's the praise? Sometimes we do that too. We come to church on Sunday. We're praising God. Something happens Monday. We stop praising the Lord. Because things happen. No, we got to continue to praise the Lord because it's not about us. It's not about our situation because the Lord Jesus hasn't changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
That's
He's
right.
still a good God and He still has provided and He has a way of escape for us.
Yes.
It's already done. It's a promise. The cross alone, amen, He died for everything so we can live today in abundance. In abundance,
amen.
How? In every area of our life. Amen?
Amen.
So the Passover lamb in Egypt never got up again. But this lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb, was different. He rose from the dead.
Amen. Amen.
The risen lamb. Death could not hold him, church. Death could not hold him. On the third day, everything changed. That's what we say. Resurrection changes everything. Let's go. Brother Mark already read this, but let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 28:6. Matthew 28:6. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Mary, Mary and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and number 6, the angel tells Mary, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Amen. This is Mary speaking to the disciples that the Lord is not in the tomb. He's nowhere to be found. And the angel declared to Mary, who are you looking for? Because he's not here. He has risen. Go and tell the others.
Mm-hmm.
Go and tell the others. Listen, Jesus Christ didn't just die for us. He rose for us. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, as we know, Christianity is the only religion in this world whose founder is not dead. Okay?
Amen.
Christ
Amen.
Is the one that founded this faith. Amen?
Amen.
He's the one that in
Amen.
Other religions, people have been buried and they're still there.
And they're still buried.
That's okay, right. The fact that the Lord Jesus conquered the greatest and the strongest enemy of all, which is death, is the greatest proof that he is God.
Amen.
Jesus was the first man to ever experience death, conquer it, and never to die again.
Amen.
That's the God that we serve. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve. Amen. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to verse 6. And this is Paul speaking. And Paul speaking about the risen Christ. After that, he was seen, the Lord, by over 500 brethren at once, on whom greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Amen?
Amen.
What is he trying to say? He's saying that the Lord Jesus showed himself to over 500 people. So over 500 people saw the Lord Jesus. But when you think about the Pentecost, right? Because the Lord Jesus said, hey, wait for it, right? Wait for the gift of the Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come down, right? But when we read in the book of Acts, we read that only about 120 were in the upper room, waiting for the promise of the Holy Ghost, right? So what
mm-hmm.
happened to the other 380, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder, right? Amen? But the point here is, that there's evidence, there's proof that that tomb was empty.
Amen.
And that the Lord Jesus appeared to over 500 people, including the disciples. And we read the accounts in the Gospels how the Lord appeared to his 11 disciples. Because remember, Judas Iscariot had committed suicide. Amen. So there was 11 of them plus the women and all other disciples that he had. Amen. He appeared to so many of them. That is proof that the Lord Jesus is alive. He's living. And now in Pentecost, he comes to live in us. He came to live with the disciples. And after that, the disciples had power to do the greater works that the Lord was doing here on earth.
Amen.
So Jesus, Amen. The Passover, the Lamb, is alive. And there is power. There, church, there is power in the risen Passover Lamb. There is power Amen. In the Lord because he lives. Amen?
Amen.
And because he lives, we have victory over sin.
Yes.
Sin no longer has dominion Amen. Over us. Amen?
Yes.
The blood Amen. Covers all human sin. The blood that the Lord Jesus shed on the cross covers yes. all human sin, providing yes. forgiveness, because that's why he provided forgiveness for us. He and a new atonement and justification. Do you know that right now, us believers, there is a garment of righteousness that was placed on us when we said yes to the Lord? That means we have right standing with God. We've been justified. And not only did it do that, this blood, it cleansed us from the conscience of guilt. It broke the power of the curse. Listen, the Word of God says that the Lord Jesus became cursed for us on that tree, on that cross. Amen? So not only did it cleanse us from a guilt consciousness, right? It broke the power of the curse. Today, it offers spiritual and physical healing because that's what salvation does when we say yes to the Lord. And it grants us protection from spiritual harm.
Yes. Amen.
And on top of that, that's not even all. On top of that, like I said before, it reconciles us believers to God, to relationship. It provides eternal redemption and victory over all evil. The resurrection empowers believers with authority and dominion. Amen?
Amen.
We know we have the authority. We know we have power. We know we have dominion, right? And because the Lord lives, we have victory over death. Yes. Death is no longer Amen. The end. It is only a doorway to the eternal life that God has already promised for us. A doorway. Amen. Amen. We're living right now. Amen. Right now, we are living in eternity. This is heaven. Right now, we're living in heaven. Amen. This is eternity. We live in the benefits of Christ. Amen. Look at in John 3:16. We know the verse, for God so loved the world, right? He gave it all us for us so we would have eternal life. But eternal life means eternal life today as well as in the future. Amen. We're living the life that Christ died for us to live. We're living a new life in him. Listen, we're not just forgiven. We have been transformed
Amen.
By that resurrection. Amen. Because resurrection changed everything. Because we say yes to the Lord, we have a new life. We have been forgiven. We have been transformed. And every day is a daily thing. That's why the Word of God says in Romans 12:2, do not continue to be conformed to this world, but, boy, be transformed by renewing your mind. And renewing happens daily. It's a daily process. We can never stop renewing our minds.
Yes.
We got to continue to be in the Word. Amen? and speak the promises of God.
Amen.
We got to open our mouth wide and fill it with His Word and speak boldly with His Word. God already has written His ordinances in our hearts. His Word is in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
We need to allow the Word to transform us daily. Daily.
Amen.
So church, there is the difference between Egypt, right, and the empty tomb. In Egypt, blood saved the Israelites from death. At Calvary, the blood saved us from sin.
Yes.
At the resurrection, power raised us to new life in Christ. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So the cross saves you and I. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes you and I forever.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I never want to go back to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I used the phrase the other day. I had somebody that wanted to go back to somebody that they, you know, for tax returns that they used before, like years and years ago. I'm talking like years and years ago. I said, why are you going back to Egypt? You know, I can help you, you know, like I can help you. Don't go back to Egypt, you know. It was funny, but, you know, only because this word was already in here. But that's how I saw it, right? It's just like saying, don't go back to the past. If you don't leave the past, you can't enter into a future.
That's right.
If you don't leave your past, you cannot enter into a new season with God. You got to let go of the past. Egypt no longer works for us. The past no longer works for us. It doesn't even define who we are today in Christ. So what is the response? The response is, live like the Lamb is alive, which He is. If Jesus is still in the grave, then there's no power, there's no hope, right? But because the Lord Jesus Christ, He is risen and He lives, now today we can walk in full victory,
yeah.
Right? We walk in full authority, and the Word of God tells us that we overcome the enemy. Why? Because Jesus already defeated the enemy. He's under our feet. Church, we're not called to live like a victim, like I said before. We're called to live victoriously in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm just going to end with this because, again, to live in Christ is to live in all His benefits. Not some of His benefits, but in John, I believe it's in John 17:3. In John 17:3. Because we know about John 3:16. In John 17:3, right? We know about eternal life. That's what God has given us. But look at the Lord Jesus praying, right? This is one of His prayers. And He says that this eternal life, that they may know You. This is the Lord Jesus' prayer. That in this eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. Amen. So our purpose here is to know the Lord. Is to know God. Is to have intimacy with Him. Because it is in through that relationship, amen, that we continue to establish ourselves in Christ. And nothing can break us from that love, from that bond that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So
amen.
we gotta know that we are covered. We are called, church, we are called to live like someone covered by the blood. We've been covered by the blood of Jesus. We have been filled, completely filled with His resurrection power.
Amen.
Remember, it's His power working through us. We just want our availability. But the power of Christ is not our power. It's the Christ that works through us. But that is resurrection power, church. So
amen.
In closing, I want to say the Lamb, yes, was slain. The blood was applied, church. But on the third day, the Lord Jesus resurrected. And the Lamb stood up again. And because He lives, chains can break. Amen. Chains can break. Chains that have us, that had us bound and have other people bound, they can break through the power of the resurrection. Amen. Dead things can rise again. Amen. Amen. There is Amen. Resurrection power. Romans 8:11 says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is within you today, right now, for those who say yes to the Lord. And because the Lord lives, our lives can be restored. They have been restored, and they will continue, hallelujah, to be in intimate relationship with the Lord, because when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, it changed everything.
Yes.
It changed everything. Amen. So let's continue to move forward. Know that eternal life is knowing the Lord God. Know that eternal life is walking right now in this life, but fully in victory, fully in authority, in dominion. Amen. You have it all because the resurrection empowered us Christians, believers, to walk the way Jesus walked. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we have to continue to live. Keep living. Don't live like life is over. No, it's not over until the Lord says it's over. Amen. We have to keep living. Amen. Until we go home to be with the Lord. We have to keep doing.
Yes.
If you think you came here with hope buried, let me tell you something. There is power in the name of Jesus, and there is power within you. And the Lord Jesus, just the same way he resurrected, amen, his spirit resurrected him from the dead, is the same way you can be resurrected today.
Amen.
Just get up and keep going. Come to the risen Lamb. Come into new life with Christ. Come out of your grave and experience, church, experience the power that raised Jesus from the dead today. Amen. You are blessed. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Amen. And the Lord's power is working through us each and every day to live the abundant life that the Lord Jesus promised us. Why he came. He came so that we can have life and have it in abundance. So go forward and live the life that Christ died for you to live. Amen?
Amen.